That is cellist Aaron Snedeker, who is performing as part of Virginia Rep's world premiere of The End of War by Richmond author David L. Robbins. David is here in the studio with me today, as well as Aaron and Julian Evans, who is the sound designer of the play, which opens up tonight at the November Theater, and it runs through March 26th. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey,
thanks for having us.
David, I wanted to start with you because you are the playwright. You're a Richmond native. Tell me a little bit about this play in particular.
Well, first of all, it's important to note it's an adaptation of one of my novels.
Okay.
So I already knew the story. Big advantage. The nice thing about adapting my own work from another medium is I already knew the tale, which meant I didn't have to spend much bandwidth on inventing the story. The bandwidth I got to use was creating the language, creating dynamic scenes. And I think the play is better for it.
And I think everybody's wondering, why did we start with a cello?
Well, okay. Quickly put, the plot of the story is as follows. It takes place in the last several weeks of World War II in Berlin, Germany, the capital of the Nazi Reich. There is a woman named Freya, and she has a daughter named Lottie. Lottie's a cellist, and Lottie is asked to join the Berlin Philharmonic. Lottie's house is bombed out. She has to go move in with her mother. And when her mother welcomes her into her house, she also informs her that she's hiding a Jew, among the last Jews in Berlin in this time in history.
Right.
And it becomes a big dialectic between the three of them. Julius, the Jew, played by local stage icon Scott Wichman. Julius basically spends the play behind a door, a yellow door, as an avatar for the Jewish star that the people had to wear in the pogroms. And so in this household, we have this real, I think, very contemporary and challenging dialectic about what do we do for people during times of persecution? Do we say nothing? Do we do nothing, or do we act? And then, since Lottie was a cellist, as I was writing the play, I continued to hear and then started listening to cello solos because I wanted to get a sense of Lottie as a character. And then it became really concomitant with the play. I began to hear the cello solos in the play.
Mm.
Ron Keller, who is the design head at the VCU School of Theater, is an old friend and a good collaborator. He actually said to me, well, have a live cellist on stage. And I didn't think you could do that because I've frankly never seen this sort of thing since Shakespeare with a piccolo player.
Right.
But it turns out to be a wonderful convention. I mean, if I may say, and Aaron, who's with us today in the studio, is our extremely accomplished cellist. Julian took over. I had sort of a nascent classical music understanding of cello solos. One or two of the pieces I suggested made the final cut. Julian is a genius with this. He's our sound designer, but also really wonderful resident, experts on classical music and cello work along with Aaron. And their selections, I have to say, I mean, I've seen the show, I wrote it and I've watched dozens of rehearsals and seen, run-throughs. I weep when this girl plays. It's beautiful, and the pieces are so beautifully selected by Julian and then wonderfully executed by Aaron.
So, Julian, the question is, how did you go about choosing what you did for this play?
Sure. Well, with any good piece of sound design, I basically first wanted to get my palette together. So I did a lot of listening, a lot of research into what was going on in the 1940s. Having a background in classical music as a classical trumpet player, I already had an idea of where we wanted to start. But we started looking at ways to make a narrative inside the music itself, ways to use the idea of, party music that was supported by the Third Reich and what they, called degenerate music, music that was banned. So what you end up having in the play is a little bit of a dialogue between the two. So we put our palette together and then sort of said, okay, now where can we insert this music throughout the piece? And like David said, some of the selections that were originally in the text did end up making that final cut. Amongst them is the Kol Nidre, which is of course a Jewish piece, sung at the beginning of Yom Kippur services, as well as Max Brooks, Max Rieger's. there's a Max Rieger selection.
Max Brooks wrote World War Z.
Yeah, we've got Max Rieger's Cello Suite Number 2, the Preludium, which I think that Aaron has ready for us to play today.
Yeah,
want to hear that?
All right. Take it away, Aaron.
Yeah, really beautiful.
Bravo.
But that piece actually opens the work and is essentially underscored by air raid sirens, and it takes place in a bunker and there are explosions. And it has this percussive quality to it that really does help you put you in the moment there. But again, you know, starting the piece off with these composers and having this internal dialogue. You know, the piece has it's got Rieger, it's got Mahler in it, it's got Bach, it's got Brahms. You know, it's got this sort of internal conflict between music that was approved and supported for and utilized, you know, by the Third Reich, and juxtaposing that with music that was so hated by them, and kind of using that as a tool to kind of twist the knife and hopefully make audience members who have a deeper background in classical music sort of look into that part of the storyline. You know, there's kind of an extra story, layer of story there in the musical selections.
I wanted to ask Erin, want to get her involved here. How does it feel, you being on stage and performing on the cello? You're used to performing, obviously, in concerts. Right. But how does it feel to be a part of a play like this?
It was definitely an adjustment, getting used to having a different kind of presence. Like, even in recitals, you know, people are looking at you, but they're not expecting you to be part of a different world. You're representing yourself. You're not representing an era, you're not representing a character. So my body language definitely had to change a little bit, and thinking more consciously about my movements and thinking about how is this music that's so skillfully chosen interacting with the story here, and watching the cues and making sure that my input is meaningful in this scene. So that was definitely a big adjustment and a very a fun one to make, for sure.
And if I could add, what's, I think, for me really fascinating is that I don't know who the cellist is in the play. I've been asked, well, what does she represent? Is she a goddess of war? Is she some muse? Is she an I? My answer is always, well, I know who I think she is, but I want each audience member, you know, the human mind abhors a vacuum. We don't like open-ended questions. And so I discussed it with the director, Nathaniel, and discussed it with the designer, Ronnie, and I said, look, let's put a cellist up there, not say who she is. I mean, literally, Erin sits in concert black. She has no dialogue. Her cello is the dialogue. And each audience member is left to decide who this cellist is. Is this cellist, again, is she ethereal? Is she actual? And my take is, as soon as I make you ask that question as an audience member, bam, you're in my play. Because you're determining for yourself who this cellist is. And she's an undeniably vital part of the play, yet unidentified. And it's kind of a cool dichotomy.
Absolutely. And I think she has another selection for us, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I'm going to play the first half of the Courant from the fifth Bach suite, which is actually fun because it's scordatura. So my A string is tuned down a whole step. So that's a really fun on stage little quirk. But this is the Courant from Bach suite number 5, first half.
¶¶
Yeah, that was, you know, a really interesting selection to have made. We really went back and forth on that one, I think, for a while, David, just because it happens at a point in the play where it's supposed to be emblematic of how skilled Lottie is at her instrument, and she's sort of using that as an argument for why she is so much more important than Julius. So we were looking for something that, A, you know, was, again, party-approved music, so it fit within the storyline. But B, you know, was dark and kind of angry. You know, there was something bubbling under the surface there, something that that Aaron could really put some, you know, a lot of anger and emotion to, you know, kind of classical metal in a way.
And what's interesting when I play that is I'm feeding off of the Lottie's body language. So I alter my interpretation of this piece to fit what she is saying and what she is trying to get across. So...
Well, I think what's really intriguing here is you're not only using the music, but using the cellist as a character in the play. And I think that adds another element here.
The play, and I want to throw some props Virginia Rep's way. I don't think I'll be contradicted when I say that this, it has been said, and I'm going to stand by this, that this is the most technically ambitious play this theater company has ever done. And I think that's a reason for people to come see it alone. I mean, I'd like them to come because I hope I wrote a good play, and I hope that we're staging a wonderful play. But Virginia Rep is such an anchor in the artistic community in Richmond. To see them at their best, and also Nathaniel Shaw is their new artistic director. This is his directorial debut. They have pulled out every capability. This is a heat check for this theater company. I think Nathaniel wanted to see what they could do. And I got to tell you, as the playwright, the greatest compliment I can give is that the play I wrote is the play I see every night. I wrote this play. They've given me what I wrote, and it is technically, artistically, I think, a cut above anything that I expected it to be. And I just know audiences will love this play.
Well, David, Julian, and Aaron, thank you so much for sharing some of what we can see at the November Theater the next couple of weeks.
Thanks so much for having us.
It's been great. Thank you.
Again, it's Virginia Rep announcing the premiere, world premiere, shall we say, of David Robbins' The End of War. And they open up tonight at the November Theater, continuing through March 26th.